Blog Talk Radio.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string.
Oh, if I only had the rest of the song. But it was another 10 cents to download the rest. How you doing, boys and girls? Welcome to the Spirit of America party. I figured I'd start off with it might as well be spring. And one day I'll find the rest of the song. Today is March the 25th. It's only 9 months till Christmas. In case you want to start the shopping early. And I'm listening to Mike Savage tonight, and he's taking credit for being a New York City detective. He said he was the first one to say that when this ABC reporter was found with a stab wound in the neck. That's how they reported it at the beginning of the cover-up. Mike said that he told all his people that this is gay sex, and it's a horrible type of scene. And now, when I heard it, I heard it before Mike Savage broadcasted on the air. I said that certain things didn't add up, and I called it a six-sex murder. What I didn't know was that when the press tried to cover it up, they said he died of a stab wound to the neck. It turns out the guy had 50 stab wounds. Now, of course, they're making the 15-and-a-half-year-old boy that was lured into this guy's realm as the bad guy, okay? But I got to tell you, six sex is six sex. And a 15-and-a-half-year-old boy being lured by a 50-year-old man into a drug and alcohol and sex. There's a combination of three that you couldn't get hunters to go into. The number one rule in hunting is treat every gun as if it's loaded. And the number two rule in hunting is guns and alcohol don't mix. So how sad that this guy's life is over at 50, and so is the kid's at 15 and a half. And can you imagine what kind of a lifestyle this kid has if he hacked this guy to death 50 times? You'd think that this was a blow-up, a combination of all of the evil things that were done to him. He was trained somewhere. Probably in public school. And now that they've driven God out of public schools. Did you know that back in the 50s, they used to say prayers in public schools? They used to talk about religion, the Christian religion in public schools. Now the only public school that has any notoriety is Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk School, Harvey Milk High School. And Sean Phnom Penh is playing the mayor, Harvey Milk, who was shot by a cop. Of course, all cops are bad. And I'll tell you one thing that's really sad. These four cops that got murdered in California, they got no press at all. You're witnessing a Soviet-style blackout on the media. You are now in the new Soviet Union. Anything that you haven't noticed, anything taking place in Iraq, yet every day, Al-Qaeda farted. It was on the front page of the New York Slimes. Every day that an American was blown up, his body parts were on the front page of the New York Slimes and the Washington Deep Throat Post. They even had the Washington Deep Throat Post had a cartoon showing a GI with his head bandaged, no legs and no arms, being decorated by Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld as a joke. How's that? And they talk about sensitivity, political sensitivity. And speaking of political sensitivity, I got an email from WorldNet Daily, and there is a cowboy singer named Stephen Voss, or Stephen Voss. And he's got a song, "We Gotta Take Our Country Back." And he wrote it in 1992, and it was becoming a hit. And the media blacklisted him, and they took his song off the air. How's that? So, 1992, that was the beginning of the Clinton era. And already, Americans were into a brainwash overdrive. That's how long ago, and that's just reaching back a little bit. That's how long we've been brainwashed. Freedom has been suffocated. It is almost completely smothered. So I just thought I would give you that little bit of trivia. And speaking of trivia, do you know how to say kiss in Arabic? If you're kissing a man, you say busni. Or kabeni. If you're kissing a woman, it's busini or kabaleni. So, and I think slang for kissing in Arabic is busbus. Give me a busbus. And I just thought, in case you're ever captured by Al-Qaeda and you want to lighten up the day, ask for a little buzz. I also have Hillary Clinton's in Mexico, and she's blaming America for the drug problem. And she's right. If there was no buyers, there'd be no sellers. But she could also help the cause by telling her husband to stop filling up the cocaine bowl. And he never did blow with his friends, Hillary. That's funny, on David Letterman, on the anniversary of 9-1-1, on the first anniversary of 9-1-1, on the David Letterhead show, he said he did blow with his friends. He was joking about a saxophone, in his case, the golden one he got from the big, bazoomed Mrs. Rich. Yeah, she made him rich. Rich made Clinton rich. Yeah. And I see that there's somebody on the internet is calling for the return of the AIG money. They're calling for President Obama bin Laden without papers to return the AIG campaign contributions that he got, or champagne contributions, depending on what liquor store you're in. And they're also calling for Christopher Dudd to return his AIG champagne contributions. And I said, well, while we're at it, why don't we get the Secretary of State, why don't they behave like their Secretary of State, who returned the Hamas money after she got caught, and she returned the Vignali drug money after they got caught taking 450 Gs. By way of Hillary's brother, and they got caught and they were exposed, and Hillary, the lawyer, said, "Why, I had no idea. You show me a lawyer that has no ideas. You show me a lawyer that doesn't know what's going on. Lawyers, I think, more criminal than criminals do. It takes one to know one." Yeah, so Hillary made her brother bring back the Vignali drug money, and they gave Hillary $450,000 through her brother, and he only returned $400,000. He was $50,000 short, and he didn't get to sleep with the fishes. He didn't even get to sleep with gefilte fish. How's that? Well, you know why that is? That's because the Vignali crime family is very generous and very understanding. Let me tell you something. If you missed your black tar heroin payment, you would be found in the dumpster. Yeah. And speaking of black tar heroin, now that the government is going to tax it, they're going to legalize it so they can tax it. So just remember, when you're paying that $1,000 for today's Jones, that they'll probably put an 8.375 sales tax on top of that. So now you got to steal at least $1,083.75 if you want to keep up with your government. So I have this letter here from Nancy Pelosi to the Honorable Eric Holder. Who gives this guy the title Honorable? You have to earn a title like that. You just can't put it on your desk. How about the Dishonorable Eric Holder? And she says, "Dear Attorney General, I am writing about the conditions news organizations across the country are experiencing in their efforts to survive. All the communist rags are going out of business. You know why? Because people are waking up and they're feeling behind their left ear, and they found the drain plug, and now they know they're brainwashed. They're part of the pod people. This is prompted not only by serious economic challenges facing my constituents in Sodom and Gomorrah, including the San Francisco Chronicle." That's a joke, isn't it? That's redundant. "And the other news organizations in the Bay Area." Yeah, like Ramrod. Yeah, Sexy Man. "But also by major news organizations across the country, like the New York Slimes, the anti-Catholic Boston Globe. I am sure you agree that a strong, free, and independent press is vital to our democracy. And after we shut them down, then we want to have our own. Yeah. Our newspapers and news media must be able to engage in investigative journalism. Yeah. In parentheses, witch hunts. And to analyze significant issues. Yeah, like abortion is not murder. It's good for you. It's better than losing weight. Yeah, so citizens are informed of public policy issues and can be brainwashed at our discretion. And we can hold accountable the conservative swine like O'Reilly and Hannity and all these upstarts who need to be put in their place. For more than two centuries, let me tell you something, for more than two centuries, if Peter Zenger was alive today, Nancy Pelosi would have him beheaded. You don't know who Peter Zenger is, do you? No. They didn't teach you that in communist cucumber school. What did they teach you? Karl Marx was a great man? He only killed 60 million Russians? As a recent New York Times story on the threats facing the industry noted, for more than two centuries, newspapers have become an indispensable source of public information. See Che Guevara's encyclical to the communists. As cities go from two papers to one, talk of zero. Let me tell you something. The New York Times did it to itself. It tried to shove a communist agenda down people's throats. And even their biggest supporters got fed up. And not only that, the best use of the New York Times, as a matter of fact, I'm reading from it right now, but you know what? It says, over the years, splat, oh, I got this in the birdcage. That's the best use for the New York Times, or if you got a puppy. Or, it makes great a monkfish wrap. The antitrust laws are every bit as vital in this industry as elsewhere in our economy, and we're taking over everything. San Francisco might have reduced competition. Yeah, we'll go from the Bagman Gazette to the Wandering Bum. This is consistent with antitrust enforcement. This is what this witch is doing. She is the Mata Hari of Syria. We must ensure that our policies... They're talking about bailing out the news industry, all the communist papers that are failing. Isn't that wonderful? Let me see if I can give you my interpretation of what she's doing. Hang in a second. I got to go look for it. Found it. Here's my version of the same letter. A sneaker of the house of Pelosi wants a bailout for the communist newspapers. The New York Slimes, the Washington Deep Throat Post, the anti-Catholic Boston Globe, and the San Fran Friscum Bicycle. She left out the Pravda, Izvestia, and the Daily Whacker. She addressed her periodical to the Al-Qaeda Attorney General, Erica Holdham Jr., the spokesperson for American Cowards, who wishes Gitmo was a fly so he could zip it down. Bailouts can be fun. Titanic cups are free. The word tonight is that Chuck Schumer is calling for the nationalization of the baking industry because he started a rumor they were running out of dough. Senator Carlos de Jekyll Levin, will he be able to get up at 3 a.m. to make the donuts? Imagine if these senators and congressmen had to work for a living. Yeah, you think they would turn down the overtime? Soon we will be all government employees with no bonus. The communists have seized already three letters from the alphabet. You can't use the F word that stands for fairy, N, which stands for nougat, and H for homosexual. Those effing bums. And now, B for bonus, soon to be gone, I for incentive, R for religion, A for abortion, which was formerly known as fetus control, and G for guns. Then they will delete the numbers 1 and 2, like in freedom of speech, and the right to bear arms and legs. With the baking industry government takeover, will Barney, a pigs in a blanket Franks, take a powder with the Pillsbury Doughboy? Uday Pelosi closed her letter, leaving out the sentence, "I have a bigger plane than you." She straightened out the Pope on company time. Her subject was "When Life Begins." My life will begin when she gets fired. If Sharia law for stealing was applied to the House and the Senate, the order for over 600 pair of gloves would be canceled, and we would have one scribe. Tune in tonight, boys and girls, as Freedom Squawks, a Blog Talk Radio soap, stands for the Spirit of America Party, and tonight's political topic is home fries. And the question, how can you tell if you're not brainwashed?
He started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean. And
suddenly a voice said, "Go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen."
And the voice said, "Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life."
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet.
rhythm in your veins, and rhythm in your feet, and the rhythm of life, and a power in your feet, and the rhythm of life, and a power in your feet.
Gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a quite an operation down below, with the fire pipe a-blowing while the muscatel was flowing, all the cats were go-go going down below. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a quite an operation down below, with the fire pipe a-blowing while the muscatel.
Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy.
Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Swim, swim, swim to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Crawl, crawl, crawl to Daddy.
Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street, yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, and the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, with a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in your feet, yes, the rhythm of life.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. And that was Sammy Davis, in case you didn't recognize the voice. And The Rhythm of Life and a New Religion. And the opening words to that song are very interesting. A lot of new pigeons are waiting to be hooked on new religions. And right now, we're in the second phase of Obamaism, and listening to that tune, I recall some other Broadway shows, and I think that in that Manhattan jail, that some of the inmates are going to do a Broadway show called The Producers, and it's going to star Bernie Madoff. He's going to play Mr. Bialystok. Yeah, oh God, what are we doing? What's happening to us? Our country is going to pot. Yep, one out of five Americans is a pothead. So, and they want to make it legal, so it could be two out of five Americans. Or maybe four out of five. If you count ex-presidents. Yeah, life is but a dream. And it's funny, we got some shocking news the other day. A woman that we knew, or we thought we knew, a very nice person, and she had some bad breaks in life. And I always say, into each life a little rain must fall, but some people get hurricanes. And She lost her first husband when her kids were young to cancer. And he worked on Wall Street, and he left her fairly well off. And of course she had Social Security as a widow, raising three kids. And she had one adopted girl because they couldn't have children, and then after they adopted the girl, she had two children. And that's the way it goes. That's the way it always goes. You can't have kids, so you adopt, and the next year you get one. You get a bonus prize. And we found out just recently, she's passed away. She was in a wheelchair after a car accident coming out of driveway on one of those onto one of those New Jersey highways. And she ended up under a tractor trailer, and she was in a wheelchair for the end of her days, and she passed away. And she had one son and two daughters, and one son is in jail, drug related. Aren't they all? You pick up any newspaper, any crime, it's drug related. Any shooting, drug related. Everything is drug related. Until we get rid of drugs, we will no longer have a sane society. And to everybody who says that you can't beat drugs is beating you. So she has one son who is in jail, and she gave it her best shot. She never remarried. She partied a little bit, and one of her daughters picked up the drug habit. But she finally squared herself away. But she probably lived, she probably aged 20 years and 10 years, and was a very beautiful girl, and you know what drugs does to beauty, and it, not only what it does to, the mind also destroys the complexion. The drugs destroy the mind, and the mind destroys the complexion. And then she had one daughter who was a shining star. She makes good money, above 200 G's a year. She's a buyer for a clothing chain. And they even send a limo to bring her to work. So you never can tell. You know, when they say, when some people say, you know, dumb people shouldn't have children, or crazy people shouldn't have children. Who's to say? Who's to say who's going to rise to the top and who's going to sink to the bottom? Who's to say there isn't a Beethoven in the ghetto? And there are people who feel that ghetto children should not be born. And we know them. We know them. They're friends of ours. But what we came to learn was that, and we never knew it, and we sort of drifted apart after the kids started to get older. She was an alcoholic. And we just found out about it the other day, and we've known her for 20, 25 years. So, it's rough, man. Life is rough. You can't let it take you down. You gotta have small victories every day. You gotta turn disaster into something positive. And you gotta keep your wits about you. And you know what? There's always one place you can go where you get listened to. and it doesn't cost you a dime. Liberals, they have to go to shrinks. They have to lay on a couch. Well, you can go to a guy, he just slides a little window open and he listens to anything you want to tell him. And it maybe cost you five Hail Marys and $5 in the poor box. And maybe the poor are protesting and it's not enough. I don't know. But, I remember going to her wake, and I remember a priest just coming in to the parish, and it was like, here you are, here's what you're doing tonight. Here's your first assignment. You got to go and do a eulogy at her wake. And I got to tell you, the guy was solid gold. The priest was solid gold. In 10 minutes, he knew enough about that lady to pay a tribute to her. And I guess that's an art you learn in the seminary. But it's always nice to have somebody to give you a send-off. One thing I like about the Catholic Church, it teaches you how to live, and it teaches you how to die. And if you can look forward to the dying, you're a pretty positive person. So, now having said that, and now head heavy, let me see if I can cheer you up and stop cleaning that pistol. I wasn't talking about you. Speaking of pistols, I heard Savage tonight, and he's livid over the four cops who died out in California. And that is terrible, absolutely terrible. And you can see there's a situation where caution can get you killed. And I flash back when they said that the two motorcycle cops got a bullet in the head each. I mean, they were disarmed. They didn't even have a chance to draw their guns. Now, that procedure, that stop and ask a procedure has to change. Cops cannot walk into the lion's den unarmed. They got to draw pistols. They got to do something. They got to verify that guy's unarmed in the vehicle before they stick their face in it. And there's a sad story in New York, and I did it one night, about patrolman Timoshenko. This kid, I think he came from the Ukraine. He's the only son of Ukrainian parents. And when they came to the United States, when they got a visa to come to the United States, or papers, whatever they got to get to come to the United States, as a joke, and they told him that they couldn't take him, and which is a real cruel joke. And he got down on his hands and knees, and he begged them to take him. And of course, they were only fooling around, so they all came here, and he jumped into the school system here. And you know what's sad about being in the former Soviet Union? There was no God there. So all those people, there's a whole generation that grew up godless, unless they met, you know, down in the catacombs somewhere. But on average, there was no God in the communist world. So these people, he might have ended up in a parochial school had there been God in the Soviet Union. But he went to a public school, and he graduated, and he went on the police force. And he became a patrolman. And our local paper had his picture sitting on a bench on the Staten Island ferry, going in to be sworn in as a police officer in his uniform, in his brand new uniform. And his mother and father were sitting on another bench next to him, and they were beaming with pride. And he was talking to a girl he met on the ferry, and she was probably saying, "This guy's a good catch." You know, so everything was going his way. Everything was coming up roses. Sadly, him and a Chinese-American were on duty, and they pulled over a suspicious vehicle, and the plates indicated that the vehicle was stolen. So they stopped the vehicle, and it had tinted glass or windows. And they approached the vehicle, and guns came out, and Timoshenko got shot in the face. And the Chinese, the police officer, he got shot in the torso. So Timoshenko died in the hospital. And that was the end of the Timoshenko family's next generation. How's that? And that's because the stop and question tactics are not in favor of the policeman. And that can't be. There's got to be a different way to do it. They got to do it like they do it in Iraq. Get out of the vehicle, lay on the ground. Take all your clothes off. Whatever you got to do. I want to see that you're unarmed. Unbelievable. So, Timoshenko is gone. His youth was robbed. He was robbed of his youth. And these four cops out in California, they're suffering the same fate. And there's nothing you're going to do to ease the pain and suffering of four families. And how many kids would Timoshenko have had? And that girl that he met on the ferry will never date, be able to date him again. How sad, right? And I don't know what they pay the cops out in California, but the cops in New York don't make much. If you're not making 100 G's a year as a cop, you're not making any money. And you don't need the PBA to get you less than 100 grand a year. If the PBA can't get you 100 grand a year, fire them all. And that's what we got to do in the House and the Senate. We got to fire them all. Both sides. Republicans and Democrats. Democrats, excuse me. And why do I say that? Because this nation needs a message that goes throughout the land, and that is, if you don't do the job, you're fired. If you don't do the job that we sent you to do, you're fired. The gravy train, the party is over. The gravy train stops, and the party is over, party. And put all new crooks in. Get rid of the old crooks and get new crooks. And that'll send a message. You will get listened to when you send an email or you want to talk to your senator or congressman. You won't get the phone call that I got like, what's up? Right? I want to speak to my congressman and he calls me back and goes, what's up? You're bothering me. Yeah. And you know where he is now. He's out of work. And he put himself out of work. He put himself out of work because he went to live a second life in Washington, D.C., like many of them do. Like Gary Condit. Like Barney Pigs in a Blanket of Franks. Yeah. And there's a poster boy for... I'll never have a baby. Yeah. He's pro-choice. Did you know Barney Frank is pro-choice? Yeah. Yeah, what a great nation, right? He called Judge Scalia a homophobe. How's that? They have a word for that. It's called ad hominem attack. It means that it's a sidetracking issue. It's to take the focus off of the guilty by creating a diversion. and I call it an ad homo anonymum attack. So he called Justice Scalia a homophobe. Now, could you imagine if the tables were turned and Barney Frank was a Supreme Court judge and Justice Scalia called him a homosexual? Yeah. But you can call a guy a homophobe. How about we don't... these people have hijacked, the communists have hijacked all the buzzwords. You can't say the word faggot. They call that the F word now. You can't say the N word, which I always thought was nougat. But you can't say that. So they're starting... there's only 26 letters in the alphabet, and the communists are starting to hoard them. So they've got the H word, which is homophobe. So before we run out of letters, I'm going to call a Barney Frank a Sissy Mary. So I got the S word. You got three, I got one. Barney Frank, you know what he did, right? He bankrupted the country, and he's calling Justice Scalia a homophobe. And you know what? I hope that that Justice Scalia is the only judge at the hanging. And he uses those famous words, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Yeah. You'll never see that day. We're all about to be arrested because we're going to church on Sunday. You'll be testifying before a grand jury one day. And what mass did you go to, sir? Can you tell the court in your own words what takes place inside a Catholic church? Do you want to tell the Grand Mullah, the Grand Mufti of Michigan? Yeah. Before we sentence you to be drawn and quartered. Yeah, give me a break, man. We're in trouble. Stock market's up 500 points today, but the price of oil's going up. And when the price of oil goes up, we're screwed. I'm telling you. Don't let it happen. There's no reason for the price of oil to be going up. And it's time to start drilling. Drill, baby, drill. Drill everywhere we can. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune. I should have been a detective. I'm either right on or 180 degrees off the mark. There is a WABC correspondent who was found murdered. And he had a stab wound in the neck. And he had an apartment or a house downtown in New York. And I said to myself, that doesn't add up. Something's not right here. It sounds like the guy is single. He's got a stab wound in the neck. It happened over a weekend. He lives downtown in New York. And I said to myself, this guy was having a rendezvous with somebody that didn't like what was going on. And it's starting to come out now that they're looking for his lover. So, all that glitters is not gold. And when they portray gay people, not all gay people are sweet and gentle. Just like not all straight people are sweet and gentle. And there's a lot of violence that goes on in the darkest passages of life. And sometimes, like the church says, it's better to avoid the near occasion of sin. And we've all been there. And that saying is very true. And there's one that the nuns used to teach, and that is, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's also true. And you know how many millions of dollars corporations are losing while their employees use the company computer to watch porn? You know how many millions of dollars, man hours? is being wasted. Unbelievable. So, Reverend Mother was right. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune. On the light side, here is a tale. Going to high school, we used to have retreats, and they would have people, priests, who specialized in saving souls, and they would come and give you a pep talk in the auditorium. And you didn't have to go if you didn't want to. You could just take the beating. And then you went anyway, because that's where the band-aids were. That's where the first aid kit was. So there is one retreat comes to mind, and a priest is telling a story about having sex, and it wasn't even sex, because back then there was no such thing as sex. My buddy believed that that was just a lure to get you married, and then you went out and bought a baby. And anyway, the lure was that they would use a story to put the fear of God in you. And the story that this priest told was that there was a couple who were very affectionate, and they were parked on a steep hill, and they were petting. That's what you did back then. You petted. They were petting in the car, and a truck came down the hill and killed them both. So, and of course, the moral of the story is they were in sin and they went straight to hell. So, I started, when I'm dating my wife, we were talking, comparing high schools, and she told me that she had a retreat, and the nun told the exact same story. The car on the hill, and the truck hit the car. So it was part of the catechism. So, but you know what we did? We never parked on a hill after that. All right, I'll give you your tune now. Yeah, we had a strict upbringing. My wife, I went to nursing school downtown New York, and it was named after a saint. And it was run by nuns. And you had to be in the dorm, which was a girls only, at 7 p.m. Didn't matter if you were 40 years old. You had to be in the dorm at 7 p.m. And they always had one of the nuns was a former fullback, and she used to carry a purse, and she had $50 worth of change in it. And she used to go outside the building and patrol the block to see if anybody was sitting in cars. And God help you if she found one of her students sitting in a car with a guy. And God help the guy, the girl was chaperoned back into the building, and the guy got to duck the pocketbook. And I don't know if you've ever been hit with a pocketbook with $50 worth of change, and this is pre 1964 coins, so they were mostly silver, and it has a different ring to it as it bounces off your head. So, all right, let me give you that tune. Yeah, and today they got dorms, right? Everybody's in the same dorm. Yeah, and then they wonder why. You want to know how bad it got? Everybody. The liberal said, yeah, sure, we're open-minded. Everybody can sleep in the same dorm. And then they had so many rape cases that they had to change the charge to date rape so that the guy wouldn't get 20 years. Let me tell you something. If you even touched a girl growing up in my neighborhood, you got to see the street from the rooftop. Yeah, her father and there was no one child families back then. Five brothers would come looking for you. Matter of fact, in my book, I have a story about dating a girl from Queens, who two girls from Queens, who had seven brothers, and they were all cops. And we couldn't even come into the house for a cup of coffee because the seven brothers had been in a shootout the night before, and they killed seven guys, seven perverts, and they had a lot of paperwork to fill out, and they were very annoyed. So for our safety, we weren't allowed in for a cup of coffee. And my buddy, who was a big beer drinker, he was complaining that these girls drank up all his beer money in daiquiris. He was trying to talk him into getting a pitcher of beer because he was doing his weights and measures routine. You know how many...
Hang in there. Hang in there, boys and girls. We'll give you the rest of the story. I had to split it up to upload it. Here it comes.
Glasses we can get out of one pitcher. And the girl said, "We'll have banana daiquiris." And I had to listen to him cry all the way home.
Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all song begins, you speak, and I hear violins. It's magic.
It's magic.
The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic.
Magic.
Without a golden wand or mystic charm. Fantastic things begin when I am in your arms.
I believe in magic.
When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic.
It's magic.
How else can I explain those rainbows? Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you.
You know, I say when you're born into slavery, how do you know the difference between being free and being a slave? You watch the birds in the trees, If you're born into bad habits, how do you know the difference between good habits and bad habits? If you're born into communism, how do you know the difference between freedom and communism? If you're brainwashed, how do you know you're brainwashed? What do you have to compare to? If you have nothing good to compare to, and there's only evil, you live evil. If you turn on the TV and a guy is cutting up a woman with an axe, you consider that normal. If you don't know the difference, you don't know when knights used to ride to the rescue and the good guy got the girl. If you don't know that, what do you got to compare to? If you don't know the Ten Commandments, what do you got, a gut feeling? If you don't know what's been handed down for thousands of years, right from wrong, and somebody is trying to destroy the God who created this world and get his thoughts out of your mind, and get his help away from you, how are you going to survive? If you were born in a country that didn't pay taxes, and you have something to compare to when Chuck Schumer says he sees an Exxon. You look at the taxes you're paying now. Do you know that I know of a story where when they first initiated Social Security, a guy who was working stopped working because he refused to pay into Social Security? He stopped working. He never worked a day after that. There are people, your great-grandfather didn't pay the taxes that you're paying. And not only that, do you think that the founding fathers, if they were sitting around in Philadelphia and somebody said, we need a law that says that all children in the womb don't count as human beings. Do you think that those founding fathers, if somebody said to them, when does life, do you think they would say, when does them begin? When does life begin? And of course the argument back then would have been better for the life of the mother, because a lot of mothers died in childbirth. Today we've got all kinds of C-sections that, you know, we can prevent a lot of child deaths. We've got the medicine on our side, and yet, as civilized as we're supposed to be, we don't want to say that when that heart starts beating, it's a kid. The communists refuse to recognize the unborn child. They pay lip service to it, but they really, that child has no vote. Too bad that they couldn't be born with an absentee ballot. Created with an absentee ballot. But what do you think the founding fathers, I call them the foundling fathers, what do you think they would have ruled if they knew what we were going to do to 1,400,000 kids a year, shouting, it's my body. It's not your body. It's God's body. You're only living in it for 100 years tops. And then he's taking it back. You're going to be recycled. You'll say, what did you do here? It's like bowling shoes. I mean, we are living lies. We are living the lies. Yeah. Medical marijuana is good for you. Even if you don't have glaucoma. Give me a break, guys. Give me a break. You're going to tell me you're going to outlaw smoking cigarettes, but weed is okay? You're going to put your hand over your mouth and hold it in your lungs? You're going to tell me that that's helping your pulmonary system? Yeah, but it's a good feeling. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of good feelings, and some of them happen when you die. Yeah, it's a nice, pleasant feeling, and the colors are beautiful. Well, we won't go there, but out of 1,400,000 aborted fetuses, as they call them. I don't call them fetuses. I call them boys and girls. Wouldn't you like to know the percentage? Who's killing? Wouldn't you like to know who's killing the kids? I mean, we do all kinds of racial quotas and ethnic quotas, and we got all kinds of stats. How many black children are we killing? How many white children are we killing? How many Oriental children are we killing? How many Muslim children are we killing? Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know who doesn't kill? Would you like to know who kills the most? A nation of stats, and we don't have any stats on murder, child murder. Are the married people killing them? Single people killing them? At what age groups are killing them? Stop saying killing them. It's not killing them. What is it? It's a fetal extraction. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I just sent an email to Father Pavone. He's a priest for life. I asked him to get me a picture of a baby on a cross. 1,400,000 crucifixions a year in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Aren't we proud? Do you know if Broadway was the Appian Way, could you imagine 1,400,000 crucifixes up Broadway? How far would you go? You'd be off the island, wouldn't you? Think about it. Nobody wants those babies. Somebody wouldn't take them. But you can get a free to a good home. You can get a kitten adopted. Free to a good home. Wouldn't that be better than going to a chop shop and having some guy making money on your suffering? Let me give you a tune. I'll give you a love song, because that's how it all starts. I was talking about the golden days of yesteryear, when one man could earn a salary, and it was probably $60 a week. And for that, he could send his kids to school, feed his family of many kids, make car payments. I don't think back then there was a lot of car payments. I think back then they either had the money for the car or they didn't buy it. I remember how astonished they were when credit cards first came out. They were all against them. They said, if you can't afford it, you shouldn't buy it. They were very frugal people. They gave us everything. They took nothing, they gave us everything. They were happy with weekends off. They were happy with a family meal and a family get-together. A guy came in to see me today, and he's fairly well off, and he's complaining that his daughter is demanding an elaborate wedding. And he belongs to a yacht club. And he said it would only cost me $700 to rent the yacht club. And when him and his wife got married, so you can see what he's drawing his experience from. When him and his wife got married, his father had a place on the beach, a small place. And they just put out chairs. They had an organist on a slab. And they just kept making food and bringing kegs of beer in. And that was him and his wife's wedding. Now the daughter wants $150 a plate. and he says, what about the yacht club? We could save money. She says, no, I used to work there, and I don't want the yacht club. He says, it's got a beautiful view. No, we want to go to Harmony House. Yeah. And you know what comes after Harmony House? A divorce. Yeah, the groom runs out of money. Or the wife gets a lemon. And you know what? There was no divorces when I was growing up. There used to be a saying. You know what the saying was? You made your bed, now you got a lie in it.
Yeah.
And Ben Franklin said, marry in haste, repent in leisure. People didn't get divorced. The only people that got divorced were Hollywood slime. And guess what? They couldn't even get a divorce in Hollywood. They had to go to Mexico to get a divorce. They, oh yeah, so-and-so got a Mexican divorce. Yeah, he went down without, and came back without his wife. He got a new sombrero. Divorce lawyers were going out of business then. They didn't have divorce lawyers. And they didn't have bankruptcy lawyers either. Bankruptcies were, it was a disgrace to file bankruptcy. Yep. That's it, man. Everybody toughed it out. There's a joke about an old couple that go to court to get a divorce, and the judge looks at him and says, looks at the groom and says, how old are you? He says, I'm 100. And he looks at his wife and says, how old are you? She says, I'm 96. Says, why are you waiting so long to get a divorce? How long have you been married? He said, we've been married 75 years. He says, why did you wait so long to get a divorce? He says, we wanted to wait until the kids were dead. So, it's a joke, man. It's a real joke. We need slush funds just to cover all of our addictions. And I see that there was a bust today. A couple got busted for stealing, and they needed $1,000 a day to support their heroin habit. And I'll tell you, guess what they started with? You think they started with heroin? Nah. You think they started with a Vicodin? Nah. They started with weed. And the guy that sold them the weed said, try it, you'll like it. And now they're doing black tar heroin for $1,000 a hit a day. How's that for Jones? $5,000 a week? Oh, they got to do it 7 days a week. They don't get no days off with the Jones. $7,000 a week. That's a lot of stealing. That's a lot of house robberies. That's a lot of holdups. It's also murders involved in some of those. Yep, we're going down the tubes. That's why all these foreigners are here. They're getting ready to take over. They know, they see it. They're coming in for the kill. We're going to be the land that time forgot. And speaking of foreigners, there are a lot of foreigners that are coming in here that are not contributing anything. They are not sending, not like Tymoshenko, the Ukrainian. Tymoshenko gave his life for his country, his new country. But there are other foreigners who come here who look at us as servants and crap on the help and are totally spoiled rotten. They're arrogant and insolent. They have no manners. And they have no class. And you know what? We're not screening the right. We're not screening people. We should be screening people. This should be like an SAT test for immigration. And there are people that are descendants of generations of Americans that are still on the bottom rung of the ladder, and they're staying there because it's due to their own fault. You can't. Not everybody can be a basketball star, a football star, or a rap artist. You got to build yourself up. You got to learn how to lace up your shoes and get out in the mainstream and make a buck. Other nationalities will pass you up. You will be sucking wind on a ship with no sails. And it's not only blacks I'm talking about. All you got to do is, on a hot summer day, listen to the music coming out of the cars that Junior's driving. and see where Junior's mind is. And I said to myself, as one guy's sitting, he's waiting for his girlfriend, and he's got a nice souped up car that you know he didn't get it by working. He got it from his daddy and his mommy, who buy him graffiti cans on the weekends. Paint cans, graffiti paint cans, so he can go out and lower the real estate values another 20%. And there he is, he's got his music playing, he's waiting for his chick. And I said to myself, God help you, sonny, if this economy goes down the tubes and there's no jobs. Your father doesn't even have a job. You're screwed, kid. You're screwed, blued, and tattooed. And God help us all. And this 500-point rally today, you better hope it's the real thing. And don't let that price of oil get up over $50. I'm telling you, you're signing your death warrant if you do. There's no reason for that price of oil to be going up. Somebody screwing us, find out who it is and expose them. Make them wish they were dead.
Your love is like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
Your love is like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
First it's up and then it's down. It changes so fast, never hits the ground. It goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby. When you said you'd be my baby.
Seesaw.
When you said you'd be my baby.
Seesaw.
But at this rate, it won't last a year. It goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby.
Monday.
It's a hug and a kiss, baby.
Tuesday.
Something I've been missing.
Wednesday.
Everything is fine.
Thursday.
You done changed your mind.
Friday.
It's the day we make up.
Wednesday.
The day we break up.
Sunday.
Things are going all right.
Monday.
You want to start a fight.
Joy up.
Like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
My head goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby. You done changed your mind.
Friday.
It's the day we make up.
Friday.
The day we break up.
Sunday.
Things are going all right.
Monday.
You won't start a fight.
Your love.
Like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
Seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
First you glad, and then you mad. You strangest girl I ever had. It goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby.
Welcome to Home Fries. We'll do another portion, and this is called a conservative dinner. So when you sit down for dinner, you're going to get a big helping of conservatism. I was watching Mark Levin. He was on Hannity. He's very good. Mark Levin, he knows what the country can do and what's being done to the country. And I'm just thinking, as I'm watching America go down the tubes, that I think I was looking at Barney Frank. He's up there and he's playing Chairman Mao on a committee hearing, and he's looking down his nose at the at all of these business people, and he's playing holier than thou. I mean, this is a guy who's he'd be selling boulders when the master said, "Let he is without sin cast the first stone," and Barney would have a boulder franchise. And I said to myself, get a load of that. This guy is up there. He's like Count Dracula in charge of a blood bank. And he's getting away with crimes against mankind and against the people's tax money. And everybody is eating him up. You know, oh, he's doing a wonderful job. Christopher Dudd gets up there, lies three ways to Sunday. Oh, he's doing a wonderful job. You know what? I can't believe that a state like Connecticut, okay, the home of Nathan Hale, can send such crap to represent him. Everybody goes, oh, Joe Lieberman, he's a wonderful guy. He's almost a conservative. He's almost a conservative. He voted to kill kids and he voted to burn the flag. And they're passing him off as Orthodox Jewish. If he's Orthodox Jewish, Geronimo was a rabbi. Unbelievable. And it's not just Joe Lieberman. Fred Thompson was passed off as a conservative candidate for the Republican ticket. And he's a flag burner. He voted to burn the flag. And guess who wanted to put him on the Supreme Court? John McCain. How's that? The Republican Party is half Democrat. And until the Republicans who really want to be Republicans, and some of you conservative Democrats, it would be time to jump ship and let's organize one strong conservative party and get rid of the Democrats in the Republican Party. Either get out of the Republican Party or take it over and purge the Democrats out. But if you can't overwhelm the Democrats in the Republican Party, break away. I don't care. If we're only 30% of the country, it only took 25% to win the American Revolution. Never forget, the real heroes of the American Revolution stood against 75% of the people here who sat on the fence and the sidelines. Yeah, they were pre-Bunker Hill, the equivalent of 9-10 New Yorkers. So, better, like Julius Caesar says, better to be first in a small town than second in Rome. And I'd rather be a party of 30% believers who fights real hard because one day we will win than to be accommodating the enemy who wants to destroy you. And you know who gets sacrificed? It'll be that 30% conservatives who get sacrificed for the greater good of the Democrat Party on the Democrat side and on the Republican side. But it seems like the Republicans, if the Democrats pick a black candidate, all of a sudden the Republicans got to have a black candidate to show that they're no different. I want to show that we're different. I want a Chinese candidate. I want an American Indian candidate. I want the best man for the job, and not the best politically correct in candidate. If the Democrats come up with the woman right away, the Republicans have to come up with the woman. That's not fighting fire with fire. That's burning down the forest. Unbelievable. If the Democrats have a gay contingent, right away, the Republicans got to have the log cabin Republicans. What's with the log cabin Republicans? Whatever happened to conservatives? Conservatives. That's all you got to know. You don't have to know he's black. You don't have to know he's Hasidim Aleutian. You don't have to know is she, is he. You just got to know the guy has basic American fundamentalist views. And he sticks to them. And he lives them. And his actions speak louder than words. And or her actions speak louder than words. And if the Democrats have an ugly woman as a candidate, that's no reason for us to put up an ugly woman to match them. We put up a good-looking woman. We put up somebody like Sarah Palin. who can make moose stew. And see, you got looks and a cook. The cook has looks. Yeah, we don't need to compete against women who have two last names. We don't need to compete against women who I forgot what I was going to say. Who named their children after train stations. And have you, speaking of naming your children after train stations, have you seen Hillary lately? She's going down to Mexico. She's going to solve the border problem. Yeah, she's going to buy all the crop. Yeah, she'll be full of crop. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. You want to know a conservative candidate? I'm your conservative candidate. Say, hey, Tom, when are you going to close the border? I say, well, what time is it? Well, it's coming up on 4:51. All right, let me see. Fort Hood, Texas to the Rio Grande. The average tank weighs 27 ton. Give me 8 hours and the border will be closed. And Fort Hood will be empty, but the Rio Grande will be well policed. And you know what? And the Mexicans see that, they'll put their people on the other side of the border and nobody will get through. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I don't blame Latin America for our drug problem. Our drug problem is our fault. It's our money that's paying all those people to smuggle and risk their lives to swallow cocaine in condoms and crap them out on the New York side so Junior can buy them. It's us. We're the ones who are feeding the frenzy. We're the ones that are keeping the drug lords in business. It's us. It's not them. Business is business. If you got a buyer, you're a seller. No buyer, the seller is in the cellar. But that isn't the way it goes. We're going to send 17,000 troops to Afghanistan to burn the poppy crop. So Europe, I can't get their heroin shots this year? Is that what we're doing? Is that how we're going to win the hearts and minds of the farmers in Afghanistan? If you want to win the hearts and minds of the farmers in Afghanistan, don't burn their crops. Buy them. And then you burn them. Besides, the dollar is down. Yeah. So this way you can get them. You can get them with bad money. Okay, hang in there. I'll give you a tune. You ever hear the expression self-inflicted wounds? You know, there's certain things in life that are unavoidable, and that those are tragedies. But then there are things that are avoidable, like self-inflicted wounds. Drugs is a self-inflicted wound. And here's a self-inflicted wound song.
The night out along Skid Row by a liquor store sign's garish glow, I saw a fellow I used to know a long, long time ago. He stood with the lost, with the living dead, with rumpled clothes and a reeling head, reviewing the wasted life he'd led. And as I passed, he said, let me tell you a story as sad but true about someone who just may remind you of you. Let me tell you a tale that may help you wake up with pain. Somebody buy me a drink. It begins long ago on a happy day with a fool who was loved but threw love away, who exchanged a good home for a flop house, a bar, and a clink.
somebody buy me a drink. Well, just see me today when I have a hidden skill. Who would think I was at a fine wife and kid? Yes, I was that fool after treasure and pleasure. Love was just a game played with some other dame. Now there's only one thing I feel certain of. The only true treasure in life is love. Without someone to love, love you, see how low you can sink. Somebody buy me a drink.
We all know somebody like that. That's where the saying, there but for the grace of God go I, and how true that is. And it doesn't take much to fall off the cliff. So let me see if I can find you a new sensation.
Yeah.
That's our show, folks.